Would you welcome Brother Bill Steckes to share a message? Amen.
Yes. Amen.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you.
God bless
you. This is huge, yeah. Can we use the lavalier mic here?
That's just recording.
Oh, okay. So I will take it off and I will go back here. There you go. So you need both. Good Lord. Thank you. Yeah. Okay. So you can hear me okay? All right. So I'm going to be very interactive here. And what I want to do, well, first off, I mean, this is all about the Holy Spirit. Are you kidding me with the relationships that you have in this church? If you can't be thankful for something, this is awe-inspiring, right? Yeah. My goodness. Jesus wants us to have relationships, first off, with Him. But when I see this, I feel good. You know, I can't grow a beard like Pastor Ken, but right now, the hair on my face and neck, it's there, all right? It's standing up because I love this. David, you're going to be one of my friends. So I come up here and I stumble, right? And this isn't even part of what I want to talk about today, right? And I don't want to take a long time. I really don't. I want this to resonate with you, everything that I have to say. I mean, it's what God wants, right? So now I'm thinking, okay, God, look what happened. The guitar falls twice. Bong! Right in the middle, right? Why are you doing that? Okay? And so right away, David, not this David, the other David, right, in the Bible. And then Moses. God said, Moses, I want you to do this. I want you to lead these people around, right? You want me to do what? I'm not a good speaker. Well, do it. And he did. David, you want me to, do you understand that that's Goliath out there? What do you want me to do? Okay, he does it, right? So now it's like, okay, God, I got this. We practiced those songs. I got this PowerPoint down 3 nights, like, going over every. And now it's like, God, I want to take a left turn, and that's what we talked about. No, take a right turn and talk about being human, being a stumbler, right? We all are. We got to be a humble servant, but we got to be real, right? Stuff like that happens, but you got to get up and you got to keep moving on. So I just wanted to start with that. And thank you guys. This is an amazing congregation. You guys, it's no wonder you're here, right? Amen. Thank you. All right, so we're going to talk about a lot of things, but the one thing that I want to talk about, and I might have to come over to these notes later on, is temptation. That is the thing that we want to talk about today. So do we have that first slide, Melissa? Boom. So temptation's mentioned nearly 50 times in the Bible. That's pretty good, right? So I'm a sports guy. Sports, big part of my life. Just having the passion and sorry for the voice today. Seriously, it's just gone. But with 66 books in the Bible, you're going to mention it about 50 times. That's pretty good. It's an important thing. And so what I want you to do is follow me here, okay? Let's go to the next one. Dramatic pause. I'm making a bold statement filled with the Holy Spirit. A bold statement right now that what I'm about to tell you is, and I know it sounds arrogant, but I don't care because I'm told that your life is going to change. Take what I have to say out there every day. Are you ready for life changing? Seriously? Guy comes in and speaks a little bit and it's going to change your life? What is he? I'm telling you. God's all about bold statements, right? So here we go. One that just comes to mind. If you have the faith less than the space of a mustard seed, what can we do? We can move mountains, right? That's a bold statement. God is just all about bold statements. Sports fans here? Yes, no, maybe? Yeah? Yeah. Excited about Scott Frost? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah? Coach of the year nationally? Are you kidding me? And he's going to come and take over the Husker program and restore it? I have all the faith that he will. So I've covered literally hundreds of press conferences. Who cares, right? Okay, that's what I did. And a lot of them were Husker press conferences. But I watched Scott Frost's press conference. Every word of it, I DVR'd it, watched it back. And Anybody watch that? Yeah. Okay, so do you remember when a reporter said, Mr. Frost, how are you going to adapt to the Big Ten? It took him less than 3 seconds, right? It was like 1,001, 1,002, and he fired this answer. The Big Ten's going to have to adapt to us. Bold statement, and we believed it, and we feel it, right? This is going to change your life today. All right, so let's go. And thank you for doing this. What I want you to do, and please follow me, okay? Just stay in the key of G and follow me with the chords, but we're going to go right here. Let's have a big rectangular doorway. We're talking about temptation today, all right? Hold on to that. Follow me as I pivot over here, and I'm going to come back to that, and it's all going to make sense in a little while, okay? So what we want to do is come over here to thankfulness. Thankfulness is read more times than temptation in the Bible, including, of course, the Lord's Prayer, right? Lead us not into temptation. So I want to talk about temptation here. Do you want me to just give you a signal to go to the next one? You're going to follow me. All right. Okay. So we're going into thankfulness. And okay, I'm just gonna change up here. Has anybody ever heard? And I hope you have. Corrie Ten Boom. Can you put her up? Okay. Love this woman. An awful time in world history, World War II, specifically those concentration camps, right? Where Jewish people were thrown in there just because of who they were. And it just the awful conditions. Corrie Ten Boom and her family wanted to do something about it. So they actually had a place where the Jews who were about to be persecuted could hide. Put them away so that they couldn't be seen. And she did that, and her family did, to protect them. Well, word got out by the bad guys, and she found herself arrested and put into these training camps. And again, can't do anything about this voice. So sorry. So sorry. It's here for a reason, right? So she does that, and now she finds herself in these concentration camps where Bible studies are forbidden. And forgot to mention, she's a woman who was on fire for God. All right, she had Bible verses, all kinds of them, memorized. And so she was all about Bible studies that were forbidden in those camps. And think about what the smell, the despicable conditions in those concentration camps, right? Decaying bodies, just unspeakable, deplorable, whatever you want to use for an adjective. Corrie is in there telling people, look, we need to be thankful for these conditions. And she was bold about it. Another bold statement, thank you. Specifically, she told them to be thankful for the lice that was infested in all of the hair. Think about the itching and just, wow, I'm living in this? She demanded that people be thankful for those conditions. And here's the thing about that. She didn't know it at that time, but as it turns out, the prison guards, because of the lice specifically, didn't want to go in there and do their job of putting an end to Bible studies or any talk about God at all. That was their job. Lice. Okay? So here she is praying for, thanking God for the lice. And as it turns out, these prison guards don't go in there. And because she was thankful for the lice, souls were saved. People went to heaven. Lives were changed because now they were saved. Remember Corrie Ten Boom, please. Great historical figure. So, we're going to stay on thankfulness here for just a little while. We can go to the next one. I find myself thanking God for being stuck in traffic because of that, right? And the reason that's big for me is Anna will tell you, I'm a guy who's on time. I'm Mr. Prompt, all right? Poster child for that. Hey, you got to be somewhere, be there. And if I'm early, I'm on time. Anna plays basketball. She's in all these plays. She's on the volleyball team, winter guard. She's busy. And she's one of three kids running people around, right? I got to get there early. And what do you say when we get to a game? Dad, you came to the wrong gym. Because there's a game going on and we got the next game. And she's looking around, where are my teammates? Well, you know that we're on time. We're not at the wrong gym. So then she gives me a look when she sees her teammate come. Okay, and you know that look, right? Now she's good. So one time we were on our way. I know you remember this. We're stuck in traffic. I mean, Fort Calhoun, right? You know Omaha traffic. It can get really bad. So Anna just says, what are you doing? I said, I'm thanking God that we're in this traffic because he knows why we're here. I don't. I know that I'm Mr. Prompt. I'm Mr. On Time. But hey, left turn, right? So I want to have this spirit of thankfulness that we're called to have in so many different areas. So yeah, let's go to the next one. Okay. So we're back to temptation with that spirit of thankfulness. So I mentioned that I got a second book, right, that's almost done. First one had a lot of God in it, like I said in the video. The second one's all about God, all right? It's called Constant Intercession. And it's all about different ways to think about honoring God. Things that you can do, whatever it is. I can't even think of some of them off the top of my head. But so what I'm going to do is show you what I have written, what God has inspired about temptation. Now, David, be honest. When you learned about poetry in school, probably not a big fan, right?
Yeah,
and I think a lot of you are going to be like, are you kidding me? This guy's going to read a poem? Yeah, I am. And I'm not going to point out the mathematic correctness of it or the, hey, this is iambic pentameter. This is what this author means. But I love writing. Been a writer my entire life, all right? Blessed to win awards for writing. But it's one of the things that God has given me that I've got to use for his glory. So here's what I have want to say about temptation. So this is from the perspective of temptation itself. And I got your attention, and you're the guy that I thought, because you know when you write, Pastor, you say something, you don't want it. You don't want to think, oh, that might not last past brunch, right? You want that message to last a long time. So bear with me, okay? And just trust. This is from the perspective of temptation itself. And where does that come from? The enemy. All right, so this is the enemy talking. I generate power in your darkest hour. I attack your every thought. I dissuade your will and set out to kill every good thing you were taught. I jumble your brain to think it is sane to disobey your noble path of walking in light and your will to fight my violent and ravenous wrath. I am tactical and unpractical while I run stealth interference, covertly seeping yet sometimes leaping, rattling rational coherence. I am formed by your foe. I'm your enemy's bow. And we work with urgent precision to move a pure mind to a place that's unkind, justifying a dire decision. Our plan is to pillage your unclouded village and transform you from true to corrupt, leaving you wondering how such a thundering swift shift could easily erupt. Oh, if you only knew, all you need to do to wipe out my powerful deceit is to see me through as an opportunity to prove that you love him complete. I am an arrogant force, so I know my course of spilling this secret to success will not change my mission of evil transmission, giving you a long life of distress. But as I am deep in thought, I know my life's fraught with weakness that will crumble if you thank God for the chance to make him dance by assuring him you won't stumble. just put a swift halt to my fierce assault that is intentionally vile. I'm a chance to show him that you know what it takes to make him smile. So, translation, all right? You want the Reader's Digest version? When temptation comes to your life, big secret, you can overcome that. It's all the devil, and all you need is God to beat the devil. How many times have we seen that, right? The devil is the Washington Generals of basketball, right? Because the Harlem Globetrotters beat them every time, and in the right spirit, you're going to beat that, okay? So when temptation comes, how about this? This is the bold statement that's going to change your life if you just take it. Look at temptation as a gift from God. Why did I spend all that time on thankfulness? Right over here. Be thankful for the temptation. If Corrie ten Boom is going to be thankful for the lice and the deplorable conditions, we can't be thankful for temptation? Why not? So now there's temptation. Thank you, God. It's a gift. It's an opportunity to show God that you love him. And I don't know about you, but sometimes I need affirmation. I do, right? Who out there doesn't want an attagirl every now and then? An attaboy, right? God calls us to be supportive, right? To be encouraging. So many messages on that. So here you go. You've got this temptation. Now it's an opportunity to prove to God that you're walking in the light, to prove to God that you really do trust him and you really are being a Christian. And then you know what? Like me, I stumbled here metaphorically, right? In life, of course I've stumbled. I'm a humble servant who's absolutely made mistakes. But when the next one comes, if there's a temptation there, I'm telling you, it's amazing. It is awesome to have that paradigm shift of, oh, temptation? I don't care if it's little. I don't care if it's huge. Because, hey, let's not make this something that's coated with candy here. There are some temptations that are awful, just deplorable. But look at it as a gift, please. Show God that you love him. And now, if you can make God smile, I mean, it's kind of easy to make pastor smile, right? You make God smile, make him dance, joy, attaboy, get a well done from God. There you go. You have a chance to do that every time a temptation comes in. All right. I absolutely was not going to do this. But today is all about taking a right turn when you're supposed to go left, right? I've left things out of this, and that's fine. Some creative quips, something that might make you laugh, something that might make you think, right? But I'm going this way because God wants me to, and it's going to make for an interesting ride home back to Omaha because Anna has no idea about this. But hey, what better way to tell her than in the body of the Holy Spirit, right? I'm going to talk about my father, my earthly father, right? The Stengels are here. Jane, blah, 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 all the names, right? So I'm one of nine, so I get it, right? Look, our names start with S-T-E, both of us, right? We both have a lot of people, so we get that connection in the relationship, right? So my father, one of the most, probably the most charming man I have ever seen. Okay, and he was a big, tall, strong athlete. In fact, one of the better basketball players to ever come out of the New England area. You know, and I know that from the newspaper clips. I know that from his resume in basketball, right? And from his friends and people much younger than him. He's gone now, by the way. He's in heaven, thankfully. But the stories that they would tell, just because you're Frank's kid, right? Awesome. Love it. But what they didn't know was for decades, there was an awful drinking problem. There just was. And the funny thing is, he could connect with anybody, right? The governor or the guy passed out drunk in an alley. He could connect, and anybody in between, he connected with, and he felt for. But it's the guy in the alley that I kind of wish he wouldn't have. But the reason I'm so proud of him is that he made a difference. Okay, decades of really bad drinking, and this isn't just, oh, he drinks some wine, right? And again, this is not, I honor my father, okay? This is just being real in the spirit of all of this that I wasn't even going to talk about. But I feel this is what we're supposed to talk about today, along with the temptation. And the funny thing is, the Holy Spirit's making this all make sense, and it's going to come home here in a second. He was a smart man, but he lost jobs. Not just one. You know, several jobs along the way. And here I am as a kid, and thank God for my mother, because she was, you know, you say, oh, she's a saint. Well, she was right there with them, on fire for God, not giving up. And then finally, he got his act together in that area and took off from there. So it didn't happen until I was about to go to college. So proud of him. And you know what did it? It was God, but the vessel was AA. I'm sure you've heard of it, right? So that's a faith-based, you know, I don't have to tell you, faith-based program that will help you overcome that specific addiction. So when I talk about easy temptations and really hard temptations, I'm there, right? Hopefully I can connect with you for just one day here, right, the way Pastor Aaron does. So here's another thing about that. In AA, you are rewarded with a cake every year that you're sober. And he loved those cakes. Loved them. And again, hey, let's lift people up, reward them. It's important. It's all biblical. So he got those cakes. And on his second or third cake, I'm in college at this point, and he knows. I mean, I was studying Shakespeare, studying the Bible, and I loved King James. And I know there's a lot of things out there about, well, that's not King James. Well, I liked it for the eloquence of the writing. It was like Shakespeare. And so love the written word and love to read that eloquent language. And he knew that, obviously, right? And he's like, hey, the first time ever, he's like, I want to run something by you. I wrote a speech because they asked me to. Wow. Yeah, bring it on. Well, it's like my third cake, and I really never done this before. So it was all about, it was entitled, Don't Reach. Don't Reach. I feel that he's just like, are you kidding me? You're telling that story? Yeah, I am. Don't reach. I thought, that is brilliant. Don't reach. Because obviously, right, you get it. If you don't reach, you can't get that bottle, right? So I truly believe with every fiber of my being, and that's a cliche that I don't want to throw out there, but look at me. Look at my eyes. I believe this, that if he knew this message about having temptation, even that bad, as an opportunity to show God that you love him, no way he goes decade upon decade with a really, really bad problem. So whatever that temptation is, David, you feeling me? Was the poem okay? Right? All right, good. Yeah, see, I didn't overdo it with that, right? Yeah. So that's what I want to talk about. I almost feel that I got to take questions for some reason, which I absolutely did not think. Any questions for me? Any questions about anything? No is no. Am I connecting with anybody here? Thank you.
How long have you been walking with the Lord, and when did you accept the condition during accepting
him? Since I was a kid. Very, very early on. Yeah. So, and that's a blessing. That's something to be thankful for. You know, I never drank. I mean, I'm not this, hey, look at this kid. He doesn't drink. He's a good kid. No, I didn't do that. Partly because of my father, and I saw that. But I had really good coaching, really good encouraging people around me as a young kid. And then that led to a nice baseball career. That led to so many things because of good coaching. And we didn't even mention this, but I do coach a high-level baseball team today. We take the best kids in the state and go in the fall and play colleges all over the Midwest. Anna's come with me and stayed in the hotels, I mean, to give back. And I start with a prayer for those kids, right? Every game. And you know what? I'll go to the other coach. And we don't know these teams, right? Coach, we're going to say a prayer before the game. Sometimes they say no. Most times they say yes. And sometimes it's like one of the kids that gets the other players out there, and we're on the pitcher's mound, surrounded. I should have put one of those pictures in there, glorifying God, thanking Him for the athletic ability and the future that these kids have playing Division I baseball and more. So that's something that I got to do. So that, I had so much more to say. But I just took off here, and I don't apologize for it. I can't. Yes, sir, ma'am.
How do you handle, you have kids who obviously play sports, so how do you handle that balance, like, of sports and not allowing that, or with Sundays and church? And
yeah, you have to have a plan. You got to pray about it. You have to. Both boys are in baseball and activities, and they're high active kids. I mean, they need to get out there. One's got a broken toe right now, and he's going nuts because he's cooped up. You have to have a plan, and that's about, hey, Mr. Promptness, Mr. Be There on Time. You have to, and you have to just put a plan, write it down, whatever you have to do, and make it happen. I left my TV career that I loved, turned down jobs, plural, on national TV because that would not allow me to be able to go and do all these things with kids, right? So you have to make sacrifices. You just have to. And so the compromise is, all right, College World Series, I'm going to be there doing that. And then I do a high school football game on Thursday. But I started an insurance company, and that's what I'm doing full-time now. And that allows me to make appointments around all of this stuff. So you're asking me, how do I handle it? That's a loaded question. What other guns you got back there? So, I mean, so I had to change my career to take care of them, but who cares? That's what you do. You gotta make it happen and make sacrifices, because it's just not easy.
So, Bill, what,
Marty.
So what do you think about this Sunday thing where they schedule the games? I think that's where Crystal's coming from.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't understand that's where you were coming from.
Well, maybe not.
The game, okay.
But that's a question I had, too, is how do you handle that? I mean, is it okay to forsake them for that Sunday? Because it's more important. It really is more important to come to church than it is to play a baseball game.
No, it is. And so when you're on, like when I'm coaching or when they have a game?
Well, when they have a game.
You put church first. You just have to, right? I mean, yeah, and that doesn't go over so well with some coaches out there. So, but hey, what does, right? We're not here to...
Does it open the door with the coaches for evangelism? I mean...
Absolutely, and that's part of... I'm not saying I'm called to do that, but I do it. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it is. God's got a plan for me in opening things up, right? Nice breeding ground, doing live television and you know, being in that... whatever spotlight you want, and maybe that's what he's preparing for me for. I don't know. We're going to find out, right? Sooner or later we're going to, but you just, this isn't easy, right? You can say, I want to be more like Jesus. Nice little sentence. Really? Really? Putting that army of armor on? And being in the army of God, it's not, you've heard this before, it's not easy. So you just do it. You persevere and you do it. And to me, thankfully, it's easy because life's complicated. If you can make it that simple, hey, have a plan to be on time, put this first and that second and this third, and you're good, I think. Okay. Can we pray? Father, thank you for this message and this body that I was a little bit aware of, but I hadn't seen it in person. Thank you for the relationships in this church that is reaching out more than many big churches. I can tell, and I know that. I pray that this message of temptation, this paradigm shift, will resonate with everybody here. And if it resonates with just one in 10 years from now, they're like, I don't remember that guy, but Father, thank you for that message because I'm still here with it. I pray that this will resonate in your Son's holy name. I pray that it will. And thank you for this. Amen.